The first candle is the candle of invitation. This flame tells Jesus that he is welcome to enter the hearts and our homes.
The second candle is the candle of preparation. This flame tells Jesus that we have attempted to cleanse from our lives those things that would be offensive to him.
The third candle is the candle of restoration. This flame tells Jesus that since our lives are being spiritually restored, his coming was not in vain.
The fourth candle is the candle of proclamation. This flame tells Jesus that we, who have received the good news, not only accept it, but we are sharing it with others.
Since this is the last time you will be visiting with us in our inn, we want to share with you the facts, as we know them, about our special guest, baby Jesus.
We don't want you to make the same mistake that we did and turn him away. This whole event was predicted in the Old Testament. We've heard about it since we were children. We just couldn't believe it was happening in our day.
The shepherds were the first to hear the good news. An angel appeared before them and told them that a special baby was born, that he was a Savior, who was Christ the Lord. We know him as Jesus.
It was hard for us to believe that this baby was the Son of God, the promised Messiah. I thought the shepherd's story was a result of too much wine, but now I'm convinced that their story was true. I'm so sorry that I doubted.
It is our hope that you will celebrate Jesus' birthday each year. Join us in giving thanks to God for sending his son, baby Jesus, to be our Savior.
Jesus no longer occupies the front suite of our inn. He completed his mission on earth, and he has returned to his Father in heaven. But we feel his spiritual presence every moment of our lives, and we hope that you can feel this presence too.
We make it a practice of telling every traveler who enters our inn the story of baby Jesus. If each of you tells those you meet about baby Jesus, maybe the whole world will hear and believe. Although the large white candle, center candle, is usually called the Christ candle, for this occasion I declare it the candle of celebration. As we see this flame, we are reminded that Jesus came to be the light to a dark world. Since he no longer physically walks with us on this earth, he has commissioned each of us to become his light to a troubled world.
Thanks for letting us share this Advent season with you.
Send the night into the little lamb.
Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb.
Do you see what I see?
Trees with the voices.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been put into prison, he withdrew into Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And this ends our reading.
You know, not very many worship services take place when it is totally dark outside. It's dark out there now. You know, when I was a little girl, we briefly lived with my grandmother on Spring Street in Reading. And as was the norm back then, there was only one bathroom, and it was at the top of the stairs down a long hallway because it had been built on after the home had been built. Now, in the evening, it was really a terrifying experience to have to use the facilities because you'd come out of that bathroom door, you'd flick off that light, and you would have to walk down a very, very long and dark hallway past dark bedroom doors until you reach the stairs. Okay, now I don't know if you can relate to this or not, but I would bolt out of that bathroom. I would run to the stairs. I would run down the stairs as fast as I possibly could with the darkness behind me. I would land at the bottom, and I would keep running because the darkness of the formal parlor was still behind me. Can anybody relate to that? Okay, you're all old. Well, I would get to the kitchen out of breath to face the questions, you know, well, why are you panting? Or to hear the laughter of the gathered family for being afraid of the dark. Although, honestly, a few of them reached the kitchen out of breath, too, on occasion. So, you know. You know, John and I have been blessed with many grandchildren. And some of them are very afraid of the dark. And some of them aren't. But without exception, they all sleep with a nightlight. Darkness is something that causes our hearts to race. No one likes the dark. The Christmas story begins in darkness. There was the darkness of oppression. After all, God's people were a conquered people. They were a beaten and defeated people. There was the darkness of persecution. As a matter of fact, it was the despised universal taxation that brought the main characters of this epic story together on that fateful night. There was the darkness of despair. The majority of the people had begun to think that violence was the only way their world was going to change. They thought violence, not faith, was going to be the only answer to their problems. On that first Christmas, there was anger instead of peace. There was despair instead of hope. There was suspicion instead of trust. There was hatred instead of love. There was disease instead of health. There was anarchy instead of order. And there was death instead of life. That's how it was back then. And that's how it is now. We live in a world of darkness. There are wars and rumors of wars. There is persecution and genocide. There is hunger and unemployment. There is loneliness and despair. There is emptiness and hopelessness. And there is sickness and there is death. Now, I don't know much, but what I do know is that I don't have to tell any of you who are here this evening about darkness. Because in one form or another, darkness has touched your life. Every one of us here this evening is acquainted with the night. So we have not gathered this evening to naively deny the existence of the darkness. Nowhere in Scripture are we given a pep talk or any kind of an argument to try to convince us that things aren't really as bad as they seem. A close examination of Scripture will convince us, if we have never been convinced before, that darkness is real. And darkness is always present. And it is always lurking in the corners of our lives. But a close examination of Scripture will also convince us of something else. It will convince us that in the midst of the darkness, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." John's gospel records, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." And that is why We come together on this night every year to sing the words, "Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light." Now, those of you who know me know that I'm a history geek. And history records a lot of awesome stories. This one takes place the winter of 1864. Now, for those of you who pay attention, you know that that would be during the Civil War, which took place from 1861 to 1865. At Petersburg, Virginia, the Confederate Army of Robert E. Lee faced the Union divisions of General Ulysses S. Grant. The war was 3.5 years old, and it was ugly. Late one night, one of Lee's generals, Major General George Pickett, received word that his wife had given birth to a baby boy. Now, up and down the lines, the Southerners began building huge bonfires to celebrate the event. Now, these fires caused some concern for the Northern camps. So a very nervous Grant sent out a reconnaissance patrol to see what was going on. The scouts returned with the message that Pickett had had a son and that these were celebration fires. Now, here's the important part. Grant and Pickett had been best friends at West Point. They were in the same class. They hung out. They knew each other well. So to honor the birth of Pickett's son, Grant ordered that the North should build bonfires as well in celebration of the birth of his son. Now consider what that looked like. For miles on both sides of the lines, bonfires were burning. No shots were fired, no yelling and heckling back and forth as was the custom. No war was fought, only light celebrating the birth of a child. But it didn't last forever. Soon the fires burned down, and once again the darkness took over, the darkness of night and the darkness of the Civil War. Now, the good news of Christmas is that in the midst of a deep darkness, there came a light, and the darkness was not able to overcome that light. The good news of Christmas is that it was not just temporary. It was not a flash. It was not a flicker here for a moment and then gone. It was an eternal flame. We need to remember that. We need to remember that especially now. There are times in the events of this world and in the events of our own personal lives that we feel like the light is going to go out. It's going to be snuffed out. But the Christmas story guarantees that whatever happens, the light still shines. The ancient Hebrews were terrified of darkness. They were particularly afraid of a place they called the outer darkness. To them, creation began when God said, "Let there be light." To them, where there was darkness, there was just void and emptiness. Can you imagine what an encouragement it was to them when they heard Jesus refer to himself as the light of the world? Can you imagine what hope Jesus' words would have brought to them who were terrified of overwhelming darkness? Can you imagine what it meant to them for Jesus to be the light? We need to hear those words this Christmas. As families in war-torn Middle Eastern countries are murdered and overwhelmed with grief, we need to hear these words as floods of refugees are looking for safety. We need to hear these words as Christians are persecuted in record numbers, both internationally and domestically. We need to hear these words as natural disasters and fires ravage people's homes and lives. And we need to hear these words as we see irreplaceable antiquities and archaeological treasures smashed into oblivion. We need to hear these words as terrorists target innocents worldwide. We need to hear these words of Christmas as we watch tainted news and the American way of life seems on the verge of collapse. The darkness is real, but because of Christmas, it will never get so dark that we can't see the light. Into the darkness, God sent an eternal light. Now, as you walk out this evening, you didn't know you were going to get homework. You're going to get homework. When you go outside this evening, pay attention to the darkness and notice that it doesn't intrude on the light. On the contrary, it is the light that pierces the darkness. Light always intrudes on darkness. Light is always stronger than darkness. The forces of light are always stronger than the forces of darkness. The greatest need in our mixed up and confused world today is to let people know that there is hope, that life is worth living no matter what. We should never get discouraged to the point of despair. In Jesus Christ, we can depend on the hope that life overcomes death, that love always conquers hate, and that truth always wins over falsehood. We are the people of the light, and we must share that light in a dark and a dying world. Why do you think God chose a star to guide the wise men to Bethlehem? Nothing God does is by accident. Could it be that it was an eternal reminder to them and to us that in a sea of darkness, it is the light that keeps us going forward? It is the light of hope and the light of Christ that leads the way and dispels whatever gloom we are facing. So it is my prayer this evening for all of you that the light of Christmas will shine bright and that will light all of the dark corners that might still be in your life. And that you too will follow that light to Bethlehem and discover that baby who changed the world and who will change your life if you permit it. Amen.